Gun, 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 doo, ba, doo, da, doo, da, doo, da, doo, ba, doo, da, doo, da, doo, da, 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 bla, la, boom, 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 boom. All right. It's Sunday, and this is the voice of the boss, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show, and yes, 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 we're gonna do this tonight. You know, recognizing your passion. The passion that you all have out there, and I'm making a big assumption that you all have a passion for peace and harmony. And we are absolutely getting ready to invite you to participate in the most fulfilling of all prophecies that ever has been uttered by man. It is now time to do the deed. And so I am happy to say that without further ado, we're just going to get on with this show. You know, I have a little bit I want to talk to you about this evening, and for my subscribers who will be listening to these rebroadcasts, I'm addressing you too, in the moment, in the now, and I am absolutely right there with you. You know, I am a big fan of John Lennon, and there is his name, you know, is synonymous with peace. I mean, the man was trying to do it. He was taken away from us a little too soon. But that's the way it always is when you get on the truth, you know. It is an incredible thing to discover the truth and then to bring it like a torch to those dark spaces. It can be a really life-threatening situation, so to speak. Yeah, I'm the boss. You know, I like to say I'm RJ, and on Tuesday nights I'm Reverend Roxy. But I'm always Reverend Roxy, but I'm RJ. The character is different on this show. If there's anybody out there listening and you want to get in on this, want to ask a question or want to know something, just give me a call right now. I know that our president had been over in the Middle East and the dollar's recovering, so they must come up with some kind of plan to stave off the evident truth that is getting ready to put us all in a tizzy, you see. But don't let it get you in a tizzy. You knew it was coming. You knew a country that would exact so much from others would soon enough have to foot the bill, and that's what's getting ready to happen. And how about that race? Well, you know, it is the Chinese New Year coming up. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I'm not jumping the gun, but I do want to tell you that it is rat year coming up, and we've got a race. And you know, in a rat race, only rats can win. So I'm not sure which rat is going to win, but oh, my goodness. It's going to be fun to watch them all tread on their mills and stand up and beat their chest or flap their gums telling you how great they are. This is the nature of the caucus. This is the nature of the convention. So sit back, relax, and don't pay me no mind, because I'm just going to be sitting on the sidelines, like I said, in a rat race. Brother, only rats can win. So let's see who's going to be King Rat in November. But right now, I just want to tell you that the Turtle Party, since we couldn't really get it together this year to really put someone in place to run, and because it's rat year, I thought we'd just kind of sit it out and wait for the dragon snake. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and perhaps 2000. Let them exhaust all of their machinations, you see. They are getting more and more arrogant, more and more self-confident, and you know what happens when that happens. Well, you know, the Turtle Party, the United Resolution to Love Earth Party, oh, ho, 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 we are going to be commenting, and we are going to be bringing you some of the creative ways in which we can check in on those conventions as they convene and as they put out their dog and pony show in their platforms. Let's see if they have something other than platform shoes on, trying to make themselves taller. Yeah, I'm in a rare mood tonight. You know, I got a guest tonight. I got the same guest I had. We had on Inside Hour. We getting ready to come back and explore some more. You know, I don't know if y'all know it out there, but I know on the Inside Hour, the inside listeners, you know that there is a live H2O.org. Uh-huh. And you can go there and fill yourselves up and in with all the details that we have at this particular moment to express that which is going to be happening on the summer solstice in, that's June for those of you who may be from another planet, that's June 19th, which happens to be the day I graduated high school, although it's not a, you know, an even or a kind of a number. I still always think about June 19th, and I will be doing something on that day of a great, you know, we're asking you to join this grand experiment, and so take a look at that site. Again, I want to let you and direct you to, that is Live, L-I-V-E, all small case. It's no small case, but it's all small case, and that is Live, L-I-V-E-H-2-O, yes, .org. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. Dr. Lenny working hard to put it all up, to put it up. And part of this whole process is trying to formulate a way in which, so we need all kinds of people, and that's what we're putting a call out to, all 144,000 people. We need technicians, audio people, just being in your own space, in your own place, and gathering together to really understand what we're talking about. And so for a lot of the shows that we're going to be doing in the future, all of them are going to be surrounded around this here event. You see, we're not talking 2008, we're talking 2009. And you know, practice makes perfect, and perfect practice makes perfect. And so, we are going to prepare, we are going to plan, we are going to execute this here. We are going to present. And so, therefore, this is something that all of us and all of you are going to dedicate ourselves to. This is an uncharitable act we're getting ready to do, uncharitable, totally unselfish act, and this is the way we will proceed. You remember Jesus Christ Superstar reminded you before, if you come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication, but they did have the letters, and this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about the Hebraic and how it relates to the codes and all of Dr. Lynn Horowitz's work and the fine work of other biblical and scientific scholars who are knowing that this great book of inspiration, as it appears to the mundane and dumbed down, as something that they want to follow to the letter. Well, then now we're going to teach you how to follow it to the letter so that you can discern what it is you're supposed to know. And that will come to you spontaneously. It will come to you, it will occur to you, and then you too will be able to get in step and in tune with the infinite. So without further ado, I want to tell you a little about him. He's his birthday today. I'm so blessed to have him on the show. He is a dear friend of mine, and he is here on the island, kicking it with us, and we have just had, Dr. Lynn and I have just had a good time decoding and going over Dr. Lynn's work, you know, the healing codes and the love, the real Da Vinci codes and codes of keys and keys of clues and clues, and well, you know, it just goes round and round and round till it makes a perfect circle of sound. I am demented, but I have invented, and I am going to continue this story. And so, now I've had two further ados, we need to bring my guest on. So if he will pick up the phone, we can get on with this interview. I want to interrogate my brother about a few things. So sit down. Pick up a phone. Uh-huh. There it is. It's as easy as that. Push a button. There it is. Oh, my goodness. Say hello.
Hi.
Say hello to everybody out there.
Hi, everybody out there.
Yeah, everybody out there, send Mitch some serious birthday energy. Yeah, did you enjoy your day? Tell everybody what you was doing today. Tell them.
Well, Reverend Roxy, we had an excellent day here on the Creator's Island. And we went to the farmer's market, and we saw the great products of the Ina that are coming out of the...
Ina is land, folks.
Coming out of the soil here, and had an opportunity to speak with all energies of people out there at the farmer's market. And then we journeyed on down to Kahana Beach. And as people on the island know, Kahana, they have the drum circles there. They got the drumming, and Reverend Roxy, you were there in the drum circle and recording it and participating.
Yeah, well, I was playing my little kalimba. It doesn't stand a chance against all of those drums, but a couple of people walked up to me and said they heard me, they could feel me, they could feel it, they could feel that.
Well, I could see they were it was a joy to have, they were enjoying your participation in that circle.
Oh, yeah, they haven't seen me in 10 years. It was like I was an aberration on that beach. They was all like, is that RJ? I said, yeah, it's me. And only your birthday would bring me down to that beach, I'll tell you.
And it was great being there with you and also with Dr. Horowitz, who was in the water, in the Creator's water. And
yeah, wading in the water.
Doing the harmonics in the water, and it was a blessing. And also Sativa was there.
Yeah, we had the whole crew there. And, you know, Mitch, reason why I wanted you to have me on this here show is because we've been dealing with some things. We call these here letters. We've been opening up the Bible. We've been looking at the books of inspirations. We've been putting it up against the Quran. We've got the King James. We've got the Hebraic. We got all these Bibles out of here. And people, I want you to know something. This has probably been some of the most exciting days of my life, to be able to begin to connect with the Creator's writing. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the Creator's handiwork when it comes to leaving the answers. So why don't you give a little overview, just a little bit about what it is, why I would have you on this show right now and where we're at with these elucidations, but and take some time, because we got some time, and I don't have nobody after me.
Well, where I'd like to start is with Dr. Horowitz's work. Love the Da Vinci Code, and I think that's an excellent starting point. And that's not the first book Dr. Horowitz has written, but I think it's a good place for a lot of people to start. And if you haven't seen the book or read the book, please go online, go to the website, get the book, start there. And in the book, Dr. Horowitz goes back and he does a historical account of language and how the English language has been reversed. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it's there in the book. If you look at it, the revelation is there. And this concept that comes through in the musical and the Sestagio scales, in Love the Da Vinci Code, is that the language has been hashed. And hashing means the intentional miscommunication. Now, why, Reverend Roxy, would anybody want to hash the divine language of the Creator? And that's the question. And I know you have views on that. Dr. Horowitz has views. So,
or maybe somebody out there in radio land has a view.
Would love to hear from people. If people are listening and they're vibrating on this frequency, on this radio show, we'd love to have them join us on the show.
Yeah, if you're not near a computer right now, I forget what the the area code is, but I know that one of the numbers is 8765227, and another one's 8159756, but I ain't sure which one is which, so maybe Don will come on, or I'm not near, but let me see if I can get it here. But anyhow, go ahead, I'll find it. You just go ahead and talk to them. Start at the basics here, what it is that got us going in the first place that's in the book there.
Well, I started with Love the Da Vinci Code, but perhaps I should go back to the book that Dr. Horowitz wrote prior to Love the Da Vinci Code, and that was the Healing Codes of the Biological Apocalypse. And in that book, he lays out the Sestagio tone and the change of the musical scale from 7 notes to 6 notes. And again, my understanding of Dr. Horowitz's work may not be complete, but I would just like to share my understanding of it. And I encourage everyone who's listening on the internet to go to the website, look at the website, look at the site H2O, and the concert for the
Water.
Yeah,
we'll be giving it to you in a minute.
Right. So we need to make sure. But take a look at that, because it all this information that we're putting out tonight ties into that H2O Live concert, which is going to be coming up. But getting back to the origin of this work, essentially, there's this idea that we cannot connect directly to our Creator, and we have to go through an intermediary. Now, for example, that would be the priest, or that would be the Pope, but somehow there's this myth that humans cannot connect directly to divinity. And so we create with our bodies, with our heads, sacred tones. And these tones give us direct access to the Creator's energy. But if you change the musical notes and change these vibrations, you then interfere with that direct harmonic connection. And again, Dr. Horowitz's work lays this out. And the example that he gives is probably one of the best. Concert A is 440 hertz. So all over the planet, when musicians today tune their instruments to A, it's at concert A, 440 hertz. But according to Dr. Horowitz and his research, the correct tune, attunement, should be 417 hertz. And that shift, although many think is minor, is enough to take us away from the Creator's vibration. And on Dr. Horowitz's site, you can actually now go and you can listen to music in the Creator's tones. And that will, again, open up that direct connection to divinity. And I think that he is the only one on the planet doing that work. And so everything that I'm doing is tied into what you're doing, Reverend Roxy, and to what Dr. Horowitz is doing. So I'm blessed to be here with the two of you. Thank you for the introduction of me, but I really am just trying to take that work and add what little I can to it. But he is the source. Dr. Horowitz and you, Reverend Roxy, are the source for this great revelation that's coming to planet today.
Well, it's enough to say that, and it's another thing, like the mathematician or the teacher will tell you, show me your work. So as we begin to look at this thing called the Hebrew alphabet, it's telling, and what I want most people to understand is that it's telling a story, isn't it?
Yeah.
That each one of these letters, and that it's not a written language, in a sense, like just they thought that the hieroglyphics was a written language, and then they found out that it was a phonetic or sound language, that they actually were speaking, not pictorial, but speaking a language, that each one of these steles and all the little etchings had associated to it a sound that could be made. And it's the same with the Hebrew alphabet, isn't it?
Well, look at the Chinese language.
Okay.
The Chinese language are pictograms or pictograms, and so that they're not necessarily letters, but each picture has a meaning. So, for example, they combine pictures or picture ideas to make new words. In Chinese, there's no word for computer. They didn't come up with a new word, computer. They combined brain and electronic. So if we look at the division of the Chinese word for computer, it's electronic brain.
Very interesting.
Okay, so the Chinese language, again, is a very ancient language that goes back. Reverend Roxy, you were talking the other night about Aramaic. And so we don't want to necessarily say that there's something unique about Hebrew. It's one door or one window back to this prototype language. And we were speculating, and you were speculating about that it goes back to a mother language. In mythology, some people refer to it as Lemuria. But we don't really have the Lemurian language. Churchill, his work, Church Word. Basically has a book called The Ancient Symbols of Mu or Lemuria.
Right.
But it's highly speculative. What we do have the Hebrew language, and we can begin to look at that language. So if we look at the Torah, and we look at the first letter of the Torah, as we were talking about last week, the first letter is beit. And in Hebrew, that means house or womb. So what we have is the Creator. The Creator coming into this structure, this house, and inseminating it. So this masculine principle coming into this feminine principle. So Dr. Horowitz and I were in Henna in the Water this evening. Dr. Horowitz was looking at the moon. It was almost a full moon, and he was looking over the water. And he was talking about the feminine energy of the moon and the water and the waves and the cycle. And the other night, Dr. Horowitz and I, actually the other day, Dr. Horowitz and I were walking on the lava, and one of the things that he looked at was the pattern, the way in which the lava had been laid down by Pele, and we see these, again, these semicircles and the circular wave-like forms. So the Creator's language and movements are in the alphabet, they're in nature, they're in the tones, they're harmonics, and we just need to go back and look at the signs and identify these. So we see the, coming back, we see the first letter of Beit, and we see the house and the womb. And the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which isn't the third letter of the Torah, but what we were talking about, Reverend Roxy, with you last night, was this idea of Gimel, which is the camel, which is the she-camel. And I would love for you to give us a little revelation on that, because you touched on it, and I would love to hear more.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, God, there it is, God is always testing us, and I believe that the she-camel, and the whole story of the she-camel in the Quran is very interesting, for the she-camel provided sustenance, milk, for people, for the fortunate ones who could run across her, and she had abundant milk. But it was for them not to sacrifice her, not to to kill her, not to eat her meat or sacrifice her, but to just drink the milk. And, of course, we know that the sin of the Talmud, or the people, the Mood, people, which were the ancestors of Lut or Lot, they were wiped out. Whatever it was, again, just like Adam and Eve, all the time there are situations that come about. Now, when you think about the she-camel, when you think about what camels mean to Middle Eastern people or people in Arabia, you can see the gift, the idea of the greatness, of the idea of her bestowing her grace and her sustenance upon the people. And again, in telling the story, it always brings in that nature that we have that goes back to the supposed fall of the knowledge of good and evil, and that man's limited free will allows us to make these choices, conscious choices, about good and evil and what to do. So the she-camel and the camel itself is probably one of the prized animals, and so therefore I could see sustenance after having entered the womb, a production of something, and I'm just guesstimating. I mean, I'm sure there are Hebrew scholars out there that will say, oh, you're out to lunch. But the idea that this third letter in the alphabet would represent the camel, and that in Arabian history the camel means so much that it is referred to in the Quran, that you can't help but see the sacredness in the whole thing, and it gives you something to think about. How's that?
That's pretty good, Reverend.
You know, so what are we? Let's get back to this alphabet. We've gotten through the third. Last week we were talking about Bet. We've got Gamal. What is the story? Come on, tell me the story and how it works when you're reading the Bible and you see a name or you see something. Are we supposed to take that literally with the hashing, or should we look beyond that and get into the vibration of the numbers of the Bible there?
If we look at the Kabbalah, and again, as I understand it, which is with a limited understanding, we look at how God created the world. And each time that God creates, it's preceded with, and God said. So God spoke the world into being. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we look at John 1, and John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the New Testament was not written in English. Again, English is a hashed language. It was written in Greek, and the translation for the word in Greek is logos, which means the Spirit of God. So, coming back to the she-camel and the gimel, which is the third letter, it's this idea of movement. So the Hebrew alphabet tells a story, and if we follow it one letter to the next, from Aleph to Beit to Gimel to Daleth, each letter is a step in the creation process. So Gimel is the she-camel, and it follows Beit. And Beit is the cosmic womb. Well, Reverend, what happens in a womb?
In a womb, it's warm. What happens in a womb? Something grows.
That's right. That's right.
Something incubates. Something hangs out and
so
takes nourishment.
If we can understand the mind of these people we have devolved from, the letters of the alphabet, were living. These were living, conscious beings. And this is anathema to our understanding. We think somehow that the language or the letters are some arbitrary thing that were imposed or were created and have no relationship to the objects. But these people understood that everything in the world has a spiritual essence. And if you're able to understand that spiritual essence, you can then name something. So the first thing that God gave to Adam, or said that Adam was responsible for, was dominion over the animals. And the way that the Creator gave Adam dominion over the animals is he had Adam name them. And it wasn't that Adam named them, it was that Adam was able to see the spiritual essence of these animal beings and their natural resonant frequencies. And again, this gets back to Dr. Horowitz's work with the idea of love. When you take the 5, 2, 8 and these numerical vibrations and you put them on top of the living stuff of life, water, it actually affects things because these are living ideas. So the third letter of the alphabet organically springs from the Beit, the second. So if there is a womb, and something, God, Aleph, comes into the womb and inseminates this cosmic womb, Gimel is the product of that. So Gimel is this creation which comes out of the womb and moves across spirit. Okay, so God moves across the face of the water. We get this idea of movement, of camels. The camel was this animal that could travel long distances over a desert. The camel was the life supply to the ancient peoples who lived in the desert. Without the camel, there was no life. They put their supplies on there. Mm-hmm. It allowed them to move. So they took this idea and they superimposed it on this idea of the gimel. So the gimel is spirit in motion. It's birthed in Beit, and it has motion in gimel. So that is the third letter. It's the motion or movement of spirit. In gematria, that's the three.
Now say that. Now you
in
say that word.
In gematria, that's a three. And the number three corresponds to the concept of gimel, which is spirit in motion. And so when we see a word begin with this letter gimel, it has the essence of the three in it.
Okay. The three in it.
The three. The three has a vibration. Gimel has a vibration. Three has a vibration. Beit has a vibration. It's two. The vibration of Beit is two. the vibration of Gimel is 3. Now let me move on to D, Da, because I think that is really relevant for tonight while we're here in the temple of David. And
I want to explain that for you.
Okay. And it's no accident that we're here broadcasting live from the royal bloodline of David. And this man, Dr. Horowitz, is the emissary here on this planet for this idea and holding this sacred space for the royal bloodline of David. So let's look at the word David. Because if what I'm saying is true, there's a science here. And that means there's a predictability, there's an empiricism here, there's an ancient structure that we can look to that we can get information that takes us back to the Creator's intent. So, we are here at the royal bloodline of David. What does the word David, or the name David, begin with?
D.
It's a D. Now, D in the Hebrew alphabet is the fourth letter, just as it is in the English. Now, we went to G instead of C, because in Hebrew, there that C sound is not the third letter. Because everybody's saying, well, you know, Mitch, you don't know what you're talking about. C is the third letter. But actually, it's not. It's Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth.
Yeah, same in Greek.
Absolutely.
Alpha, Beta, Gamma. Alpha, Beta, Gamma. So, yeah, go ahead.
So what is the resonant harmonic frequency of this word David and royal bloodline of David? Well, D is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and as we talked about, we have Beit, and then the Gimel organically comes out of the Beit. So we have this cosmic womb, the Aleph, comes into the Beit, and if you look at the Hebrew alphabet, you can actually see a dot in the middle of the Beit womb. Once that, once it gives birth, it gives birth to the Gimel, which is the movement of spirit, and then the fourth letter is the D, and what that is in the four is you have the movement of spirit down to the material plane
through the door.
Through the door, exactly. So the D is the material structure for the spiritual container of God on this planet. And so when we see the name David that begins with that D, we know that that's a spiritual material container. And it has that vibration. And that's why Dr. Horowitz is the royal bloodline of David, and not John, because what he's doing is he's bringing the spirit, God, down to earth. That's the science of the name David.
And that is so necessary because we as a race of people have put man above God, the material above the spiritual, demanding of the universe proof that there is a God, and yet every day you walk out and look at that sun, that is your proof. Now, we've been talking about this idea of God being a scientist, and that would fall into place as to why the clues would be so interesting and that they would be numerical and vibrational in their origin. You know, we're coming up on the 7:34 here. We have, this is The Boss, and we're speaking of things, our ABC. Easy as 1, 2, 3, yeah, ascribing these letters and these numbers. To get, it's fun. I'm believing that when we really get into this, that I think the people that are going to take on to this more than anybody else are going to be the children. That this is a way in which maybe we can get the dyslexics and everybody else to stop dealing with all this hashing and the rules, the I before E and the E after C and all of that. As unimportant, articulating a sound and recognizing that sound as a vibration that will trip your synapses so that you respond in a certain way is what we're talking about here. So as we stare at these ancient letters that here, and I hope that some of you will type in Hebrew alphabet and be right along with us so that you can see what we're talking about, that perhaps we've been kept away from some knowledge that's been right in front of us all the time. And now people are going to start kind of like, hello, think about this. So let's get to the D, but before we do that, I want to bring on my good friend. He's got a moment. I know he's got a moment, and I want him to tell us what's going on. We're going to take our take five for the live H2O concert. So, Dr. Lenny, you there?
Hi, Reverend Roxy. How are you?
Oh, I'm absolutely blessed. I'm so glad that you could join us this evening and give us a little update and maybe explain to people when they type in that live H2O what they're going to be seeing. And bear with us, folks. This is not easy. We are not spending the creators' money on web administrators and people that could pop the magic solution. Dr. Lynn is working hard to put this up. He's on the phone talking to technicians and whatnot. So if there is a web administrator out there that wants to put him out of his misery and take on this wonderful, noble cause, remember what Reverend Roxy said, it must be an unselfish act. But I'll tell you, I make great sorbet, and if you could make it over here to the big island and do what you do, come on, because we could use your help. Dr. Lynn, give everybody an update on the live H2O.
Well, Reverend Roxy, let me see what happens when I go into it on the Internet. Let's see where it's at. Currently, I think it's a very exciting concept for sure that we could be having a concert that would bless humanity with the divine spirit through the music, through the divine revelations we've been given in the musical mathematics of divinity. So for people who don't know, for example, the note 528 hertz frequency, which is the real C of the original musical scale, is the love tone. So I actually am online right now, and I'm seeing that the website is not up right now. So I suspect strongly that we've got some technical difficulties, but we're preparing the liveh2o.org website for people to review and to essentially get all the information they need to support to be a part of it. It's the concept of what Revelation 14, 1 through 6 is really all about, which is the singing of a new song, so that people all over, there's 144,000, that's 1 plus 4 plus 4 is 9, it's completion in the ancient mystery school Pythagorean mathematical and Levitical priest and Gematria sense that Mitch was speaking about. So that's the concert for the 144,000 discussed in Revelation 14, 1 through 6, where we sing a new song to get the planet back engaged with the Creator's blessed spirit. It's really kind of a coming to an end. It's a burning up of the egoic mindset whereby people are separated from each other through this deception. And the unification of the love with the Creator and love for the Creator, the love for the living waters. The water is such an amazing part of the Creator. In the beginning, people need to do, again, a search. I've mentioned this number of times, of the book of Genesis, and reread it and do a real thorough Bible study, and you'll see that at the first instant word of the Creator's beingness in the Bible, it says the first verse, in the beginning the Creator created heavens and the earth. Well, you see that the at the same time, before there was a spoken word, there was the water, and it was the spirit of the deep, the spirit of the Creator moving through the deep and then into the water out of which everything came. So even before God said, let there be light, there was the water. So before word or sound or frequencies or even mathematics, there was the Creator and the water. And so the technology for creativity was then the word, frequency, sound, placed into the water out of which everything came. So that is the genesis, that's the beginning of understanding, and what the concept that you've been studying with Mitch Fine discussing this ancient science of looking at numbers and letters in language, and the language itself being constructed by numbers, because that's, again, originally what the Creator's language is math. So the concept now of having the math, holding the math, holding the understanding of how language creates, of especially mathematics or the musical mathematics of divinity is blessing humanity, you know, all the time, ongoing. and this concept of being in dissonance or disharmony, out of the flow, that is, out of righteousness, out of right standingness, into sin mentality, where we're not loving, we're not joyful, we're in judgment, we're casting judgments, we're judging ourselves, we're having this whole mental agitation and erosion of our own blessed divinity and spirituality and peace, the shalom, the real peace. That's why the Messianic Age is what we're talking about, is being achieved in the process of advancing this music so that people can have shalom, peace. Yisrael, literally, where the lion lies down with the lamb, not a besieged nation in the Middle East, but a place where people are at peace with themselves, with each other. There's plenty of prosperity to sustain everyone, that there's nothing missing or nothing and broken in the kingdom of heaven, so we're bringing it down to earth where everybody's going to have exactly what they desire and deserve out of love. And that is the vision and the mission that we all have to hold and repeat and reinforce and have friends and family celebrate with each other. And so this is the concept of what the concert for the Living Waters is about. Live H2O, again, we should have the websites up, we hope, soon. They were up, now they're down. So the concept of this being a fabulous, interactive, internet-driven media celebration, that for your participation is each of every one of you listening, have the opportunity to be on BBS Radio, which is a founding sponsor for the Concert for the Living Waters, and that we will be targeting and planning for ideally 9 cities around the world. It appears to me right now that the suggestion of hosting one East Coast event at Niagara Falls State Park on summer solstice of 2009, that's again June 19th to the 21st, is a great idea. And if it comes to fruition, then it'll be an answer to our prayers. The other concept additionally is having here on the Big Island of Hawaii, because of the role that it is playing, not simply in what we're doing, but as the ancient Hawaiian kahunas had prophesied, this would be the umbilical cord by which Earth's transformation and resuscitation, rejuvenation, re-spiritualization would occur. So the Big Island of Hawaii, which has the highest mountain in the world, it is literally about 52,000 feet from the base of the ocean, higher than any other mountain. This has been said by not just the ancient kahunas, but you see, the work, fine work that Mitch Fine has done in the Gematria is leading us to discoveries of how ancient Hebrew and ancient Hawaiian have their same roots and same origins and virtually the same theology. And so that this is grand revelation, fascinating revelation, but it also makes the Big Island of Hawaii, which is the sacred place considered by the kahunas to be, again, the birthplace, the rejuvenation place for the entire universe, or for the entire Earth, in keeping with the universal energies. That's their image and vision, is that the top of this mountain holds the umbilical cord to the farthest reaches of the universe and to the heavens for the recreation. It's the umbilical cord. And the research that we're advancing now appears to be that this will be, or shall be, I hesitate at this point because it's new revelation and it's pretty wild when you begin to really look at it, but all of the evidence is lining up where this appears to be the prophesied New Jerusalem. And the Hawaiian kahunas, and again, that's before the Messianic Age, you have to have the rebuilding of the temple. Well, the temple that's being built in the Holy Land, as you probably know if you've been paying attention to the news, is not a peaceful place. So that can't be it. That's not it, because we're in training for the Messianic Age. We're in training for connecting and communing with the knowledge and truth that shall set us free so that we can be in communion with our source, with the love, with the waters, the living waters, and that this is part of us. And for us to shut our heads off virtually, or get out of our egoic brains, and then be in our hearts, be in love, be in intuition, be in communion, be in synchronicity, and have this family, extended family, the Ohana, our relatives, brothers and sisters divine, join us in celebrating and being this way and living sustainably in this way. Versus everything that we've been doing in Babylon, you know, the concept of it all crashing down, because when people realize the truth, how simple it is, for example, to heal, how simple it is to retune your own bodies to that this divinity. There's only 9 numbers, 9 frequencies, 9 sounds to really connect to. So once you begin to realize how simple true communion and healing, natural healing, can be, Babylon, the way we now are enslaved to it, is going to change dramatically. And so this is what the concert is all about. It doesn't surprise me that the website is down right now. We'll get it back up. We've got plenty of time to do that. But basically, you know, this is something that everybody needs to pray for. It's a great, awesome opportunity in world history. And it's probably vital for what it is that all people from all cultures truly that are loving beings want.
Yeah, well, you know, David had the gift of song and sacred music. That is the truth of it. And all nature, the hills, the valleys, the ocean, all sing and echo back the praises of God. And this is what we're talking about, divine communication, how to begin to connect without having to go through someone, or have to light a candle, or to be in the spirit all the time. Mitch, you there?
I'm here, Reverend.
Yeah, let's get back to the let's get back to the door, and go through the door, and somehow or another, let's arrive at this David, moon, and water tonight. Because, and tell me where this came from. What exactly elucidated these 3 words this morning when you told me it was about David, moon, and water?
Well, Reverend, I think it was, I was working on the internet, and we were looking up the Hebrew letter Nun and Lamed.
Now, this Lamed, tell me about this Lamed. Well, what did you find out?
Well, Lamed is, if I'm correct here, is the 13th letter, I'm sorry, 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
12.
So again, in gematria, that equals 3.
Now, and when you say gematria, I got to stop you. You keep on saying this word as if it's common knowledge. Now, is this like numerology, or is there something different about this? When you say numbers, does it have to do with numbers, or is this more than that?
Every letter has a number. And every number is a letter. In Hebrew, they didn't have numbers. They used letters for numbers.
Wow.
And maybe I could set a little groundwork for this and playing off the ideas of Dr. Horowitz when he talked about the revelation about Hawaii.
Okay, go ahead.
And I just want to say something on that. One of the things that brought me to this idea of science and repeatability, and does it, if we see that there is a correlation between what the ancient Hebrews or the Arabs were doing in the Middle East and what the Kahunas were doing in Hawaii, we're going to see more than one point of correlation.
Okay, so
one of, if for those of you who are familiar with Hawaiian culture, one of the things that is always being spoken about is this concept of mana.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have mana? How is your mana? It's about what these kahunas, which were the holy Hawaiian people, had was mana.
It's like a force, isn't it?
Like a force. It's a spiritual energy that informs everything. Now, Dr. Horowitz made a statement which was provocative. that we're going to see a deep connection between Hawaiian spirituality and Hebrew or Aramaic spirituality. So let's take a look at this word mana. And if anybody there is on the internet, type it in. M-A-N-A.
Or if you're not on the internet and listening to the archives of BBS Radio, do the same.
That's right.
Let's go.
Or you can spell it M-A-N-N-A, and we'll talk about both. But mana, for those of you who know your biblical history, is what sustained the Hebrews when they were wandering in the desert.
Yes.
Mana. Okay, but now we get to the deeper revelatory meaning of this word, mana. Look it up, type in M-A-N-A, and type in Hebrew on Google, and look for a definition. And what it means in Hebrew is to count.
Hmm.
To understand, to count, to number. Now, what in the God's name does count have to do with spirituality? And if we open our eyes and we open our hearts, as Lamed, that letter says, understanding with the heart. That's what Lamed means, is to open our heart energy to true understanding. We begin to see the scientific pattern. If we understand that God spoke the world into creation, he did that with numbers. Because when God said, let there be light, that phrase, is a mathematical equation. Okay, so if we understand the letters that God spoke and we assign them their numerical value, we have the formula for creation. And that's what the word mana and energy mean, and that's what the ancient kahuna Hawaiian priests understood, and that's what the kuhanim, which is the priest class of Israel, understood. And it all has to do with this idea of being able to count, which, remember, to count and to know the letters means the same thing. So when you know these sacred words and the mathematical harmonic codes that Dr. Horowitz and you are speaking about, we understand the formula of peace, creativity, healing. It's all there in these letters and numbers. And I just want to finish with this point, is that for those of you who have come to Hawaii and been to the islands, when you come here, you're greeted with one word, and it's aloha. Now, if we're going to be scientific, and we're going to say that's one of the most powerful words in the Hawaiian language is aloha. Now, we know from the Middle East, when the Muslims greet each other, they say salam alaikum, which is may Allah be with you. They speak the name of their gods. So when the Hawaiians say aloha, they're talking about much more than just hello. If you talk to an ancient native Hawaiian, they'll tell you that there's deep meaning in this term aloha, which we won't go into now. But is there a correlate in Hebrew, according to Dr. Horowitz and what he is putting out on the airwaves tonight, on the internet tonight, that there should be? Let's take the third word of the Torah, which is Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim, meaning gods. But if we looked at the singular of the word Elohim, there we have it. The word is aloha, for God. So the word for God in Hebrew, aloha, is a direct correlate of the Hawaiian word for God, aloha. Now, how in the God's name could two cultures, peoples that are separated by thousands of miles of water, God knows how much time, come up with the exact same name? And this lets us know that there's a deep revelatory history and divinity at work here that we are channeling through the kingdom and the royal bloodline of David, again, which comes back to that D, bringing spirit into the material world using these creative frequencies. So that's what the live H2O concert's about. That's what Love the Da Vinci Code's about. And Reverend Roxy, that's what your work is about. And I just want to say I'm pleased to be part of this. I'm blessed.
Well, thank you. That's a really nice thing to say. You know, folks, this may sound like gobbledygook to you, but you really need to put your thinking caps on, and you really need to think every time you pick up a pen what it is that when you write those words across the page, what is coming out of you, what you're doing. And what Mitch is saying tonight is that we've been tampered with, and now it's time to do the fine-tuning so we can get back to perfection, that we can begin to see where they have led us astray and we have gotten off of the path of the true way, so that we would end up in a different part of the universe or in a different situation. Certainly, as you look around your own world, you can see that something is not right and that God is a good record keeper. See, I think that all of this that we've done is God's ability to keep in man some semblance of his connection to divinity, their own personal divinity and personal responsibility for your spirituality. That's why I love being a host on BBSRadio.com. This is one of the few places where you could actually find like-minded people who will sit down and listen and begin to converse on matters that are in tune with the infinite and in tune with the Creator. So what do we have? We've got signs. And what I want you to do is to understand that these signs are here for you, that nobody is going to tell you different. You can find this stuff out for yourself, and everything great and small, it all receives its due recognition in the end, and the reward for good and the punishment is for evil. So remember that, folks. And here's something else I want you to remember. God's laws are unerring, and they are free of human defects. Can man say the same, all right, about his laws? That's why they always happen to be amended and appended and all kinds of things. So what we have here is a dialogue that corresponds with a consciousness and a consequence that's coming into this planet. And we are at the helm, driving the ship. There's a lot of ships out there in the universe. You can get on any boat you want, but if you get on this ship, we're getting ready to sail. Just because a fool even get on board, it's not going to sail into any other destination but that which is the truth. We are in search and in tune with the infinite, and we are out to please the Creator by doing the Creator's work. The records have been kept. The letters are there. Start looking at your words and start going to the internet and making a correlation. We downloaded a little Hebrew alphabet and a Greek alphabet. Take it. Let that be your starting point. Why would I say these languages? I would say it because look at how much they elucidated and moved us into the industrial world when they discovered the Rosetta Stone. When his little soldiers, Napoleon's soldiers, were just tripping around in that there desert, and they found that stone, that piece of black basalt, and they saw it, and they were able to discern it because they had the Greek. And then they realize, oh my goodness, that their language, it can be discerned, because it was hieroglyphic, it was Greek, and it was, what was the other one? What did I say? I said, well, you know, play it back. I know I said the three of them. But the situation here is that in understanding the language, the writing, this is how we get to know things, and this is how we're going to get to know God. Yes, it is possible to know God, and it is also possible for you to understand that the only one you should fear, the only one that you should fear is God, that you should live your life to please God, and that when you veer off into stupid, when you start compromising and being okay with stupid, you're not on the way. I am telling you, this year, 2008, it is important for you not to compromise yourself with evil. You must eschew it. The only thing that gives it power is the fact that we look at it, that we want to investigate it, that we want to wallow in it, that we want to acknowledge it. It's time to stop doing all of that. It is now time to look at the good, to look at the mercy, to look at the forgiveness, and to look at God's great creation, and that we have to protect it, because you know what, folks, it's so important. You know, everybody, you know, Adam wasn't some dumb ape that God, you remember what God said, I'm gonna create me a man in our own image. We are talking about a superior being, and that being was put in charge of all that God created. See yourself as Adam. See yourself reuniting with Eve. See yourself forgiving yourself for the fall, and let's get on the ball. And that means that we all resonate, that we all may not be able to talk at the same time, but my goodness, my God's pleasure is that we can all sing at the same time. I was talking to Mitch, my friend, and I realized that part of what it is, and I challenge all my BBS radio listeners out there to do this wonderful exercise. I want you to sing, folks. I want you to sing out loud. I want you to bust out your best music, and I want you to sing. Sing and sing. Resonate until you feel your scalp vibrating. I want you to tone. I want you to start checking out all of these things and start do, re, mi, and yo, hey, ba, ho, and all the rest of it, whatever it is, whether it be abba-dabba-do, whatever it is. Say it out loud. Begin to vibrate yourself. You will see that it will bring you. And Mitch, sing that little bit of that song there, what we were talking about, why people sing, and you said this was it. That song is so beautiful, but maybe you could just put a little bit of that down, and we're going to take you out with this one. This is when we were talking about this idea of people not singing enough. In other words, we let all these superstars sing to us. We need to sing ourselves. It doesn't matter. Don't judge yourselves. Just begin to tone. Start doing the mmm or the ah, the oh, or the e, and ah, the who, whatever it is. Just take it out. Take in a breath. Inspire. Expire. Inspire that ah. That's a way to go. Go ahead. Tell them a little bit more.
What do the simple folk do to help them along when they're blue? They really do outshine us in turning tears to mirth. Oh, what do simple folk do? We do not. Once upon the road, I came upon lad singing in a voice three times his size. When I asked him why, he told me he was sad, and singing always brightened up his day. And that's what simple folk do. We do not.
That's right, folks. So brighten up your day. Tell you what, brighten up your day. Go to tetrahedron.org. Get on that tetrahedron site and find Scott Huckabee. Get yourself a 528 or a Walk on Water or one of our CDs and get to writing some music, some words. Start humming. Start going along fine and tone with this music in the creator's spectrum of the 528. And I challenge you to come back, and those of you listening in the archives too, as we begin to break this loose. So sing, folks. Sing, sing, sing. That's all I want to do is to tell you to sing. And with that, I want to wish you, Mitch, the most blessed year you could ever possibly have. I want to thank Dr. Len Horowitz. And again, go on and look at lovetherealdavincicode.com or Healthy World Distributing. We're going to be out here. We're going to be telling you what's going on. But I just want to tell you one more time, I want you to sing out loud. Start singing in the subway, singing on the bus, singing in your cars. Just start to sing. And when they ask you why you're smiling, tell them you're planning your escape. Good night, everybody.